Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today on the podcast, I just want to talk to you guys about the fact that sometimes you're really in a tough phase of life and you literally have no time to get organized, even if that's your desire. So today is going to be a podcast where we just kind of get on the same page, and I validate for some of you the fact that you have tried and tried and tried to find this magical 15 minutes a day and you literally don't have 15 minutes a day. Like, you've tried, but you don't even have it. And I'm here to say that's true. There are some phases in life where you just don't even have the 15 minutes a day. There are also phases in life where you have plenty of time, but you couldn't find $15 if your life depended on it. You literally cannot find $15. So if it costs any money whatsoever, you're not going to be able to do whatever it is that is being asked of you. So these are phases in your life that I would love to say hopefully you'll never go through, but more likely everyone will go through at least one phase like this in their life. And I also have gone through these phases of life, and honestly, they're not short. Like, it's not like, oh, there was this 1 week where I didn't have $15 or this 1 week where I couldn't find 15 minutes. No, unfortunately, it's usually more like 6 months or 6 years. For me, it was around 6 years. I would say somewhere around 2006 until 2012 for sure, or 2007 to 2013 was this phase of life for me. I literally didn't have any time and I didn't have any money. So blessing or a curse, whatever, we had credit and we used credit. So that's how we got money. But there's no way to get time. And we didn't have credit to buy time, you know, to buy babysitters or buy house cleaners or buy people to drive the kids around. There just wasn't any way to buy our way out of this phase of life. And for the majority of us, we end up at some point or another in a phase of life where we can't buy our way out of it. And we literally don't have the time to do what we need to do or what we want to do. And I'm recording this podcast because I just want to, you know, I'm a very, very positive, upbeat person. And I am always looking, you know, the glass is always half full. There's always something we could try. There's always, you know, a way of looking at it differently. And that has served me very well. And almost always I can find something that will make whatever phase of life you're in or situation you're in better. And even if it's only 15 minutes a week, we can find 15 minutes a week. But at the same time, there comes a time where you have to finally stop and say, okay, yes, I agree that 15 minutes a day, I could start getting this house organized. Or if I had $15, I could buy XYZ. But I don't have either right now. And I have to accept the reality that at this phase of life, for me, in this instance, at this time, I can't get organized right now. Or I don't have the money for that right now. Or I'm not going to make progress on this area in my life, even though I know that if I did get my house organized, it would make me feel better. It would make our life function better. It would make this phase of life easier. It's just not realistic. So what would some of those phases of life be like? Number one, I hear a lot of you asking me about how to help you get organized if you have a chronic condition like fibromyalgia or going through cancer treatments or, you know, something like that, some physical ailment that precludes you from getting organized. And I don't have an answer. Like, my number one answer would be hire somebody to do it for you. And here's the thing. The majority of people are never going to hire a professional organizer. And ironically, a lot of the people that we organize for in Cincinnati, or I do virtual organizing for online, they've already hired another professional organizer. Like, I'm not the first professional organizer that gets hired. So they've already hired a professional organizer. So even hiring a professional organizer isn't necessarily the gold standard of like, oh, well, if you could go see this doctor, then they would fix this problem, right? A professional organizer will help you, but it's not necessarily that, oh, I could check this box off. They're going to organize my house. I never have to think about organizing again. Getting organized, staying organized, living an organized life is like breathing. It's like getting on a diet, getting to your goal weight and maintaining that goal weight, or getting your budget in line, increasing your income, paying off your debt, and then living within your means. It's not like you can get organized and then be done and move on. It is a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It's a attribute that you want to have in your repertoire that you get better and better at. So there's the physical chronic conditions. I get migraines. I get 6 to 8 a month. I know. I've tried everything. But it's just something that I get, and it's definitely hormone related. And I've tried all the natural stuff too. You can email me your suggestions. That's fine. But I think I've probably pretty much tried it. It's just something that happens to me. Luckily, the medication works. So if I take the medication when I'm getting a migraine, it will be gone. And it won't really even stop me at all. Occasionally, the medication will take an hour or two to kick in, and I might be tired. I might need to take an hour nap. But again, for migraines, no big deal. If I didn't take the medication, I could be in bed for days. And I know some of you, medication doesn't work, or you can't afford the medication or whatever. And so you are in bed for days with whatever your physical malady is. And I don't have that. So the biggest thing I think that would help with that is obviously a person to come help you, not even necessarily a professional organizer. Maybe you have a great friend that keeps saying, how can I help? You could say, could you give me 30 minutes a week? And you make a short list for them to do. Or I know with a virtual organizing client I had, she already had help that came in to help her twice a week. And we made a short five-point checklist before that person left. They emptied the trash. They moved the laundry for her. They brought the dry laundry in on the bed so she could fold it after they left. And this person also went and got 2 boxes out of storage and put them in her bedroom so she could go through and decide what she wanted to keep and what she wanted to get rid of. And then the next time that this helper came, they took any donations straight to Goodwill for them. So sometimes you have the help, but you're not used to using them that in that different way. And she said, yes, my helper wouldn't mind doing all of those things. I just never thought to ask those things because they're related to home organizing and not actually my physical care. But she was paying out of pocket. It wasn't like this was coming from the government or from her healthcare provider. So as long as the helper was willing to do these different things, then she could do those things. Because mentally, she could make all the decisions, but physically, she couldn't move the boxes and do all the physical that needed to be done. So that's number one. Like really, if your mental faculties are there, but your physical body is not cooperating with your mental, then really think through and make lists. And when people say they want to help you, then say, would you mind bringing 2 boxes out of the basement for me? Would you mind taking these things to Goodwill for me? Would you mind? And people want to be helpful. They really do want, if they say they want to help you, they really do want to help you. They might not want to spend a week organizing your house. But if you said, yeah, it would be awesome if you could move 2 boxes into my bedroom and take a box to Goodwill every Monday, there's probably somebody that would do that for you. So that would be physical ailments. The other thing that I notice as I'm going into a summer, my husband and I just got off the phone and I was like, I don't think there's enough chocolate in the world for this summer with 2 teenagers. I have 2 teenagers that I need to teach to drive this summer, and one has a job and the other one's probably going to get a job. And as you know, I work from home, which has never really been an issue, but the kids are really, really social this year. So they have friends and they have boyfriends and girlfriends, and people of the opposite sex want to come over to our house, and they want to be driven everywhere all the time, irrelevant to the fact that I have things that need to be done. And I realized that I physically need to be home, kind of like when they were 2, and making sure everybody's where they are in the house and who needs to go where. And let me just tell you, that Find My iPhone app thing, awesome sauce, knowing where your kids are when they're not at the house. So even though I have teenagers, you would think this is going to be an easy summer. And I would guess this is probably going to be one of the hardest summers I've had in a long time. Now, next summer, that's probably going to be a lot easier summer because I'm probably going to have 2 kids driving. So even though the mental worry will not be gone, the physical driving probably will be gone. So lately, the last couple of years, I've droned on and on and on about this on the podcast, about how I spend 25 hours a week driving these kids everywhere to school and after school activities and things like that. And the thought occurred to me last week that that is going to come to an end. Like, and then the other thought occurred to me, what am I going to do with 25 hours a week? Like, that's a lot of time. You get in these phases and it is all consuming and your life totally changes and then it abruptly changes again. So I have a podcast about parenting, and I'll put the number in the show notes, about how there are three phases to parenting as far as how I've raised my kids. So 0 to 6, you're just doing everything for them. And then 6 to 12 is when you do it with them, like teach them how to clean their room and you teach them all of these things that you're going to teach them. It's your parenting teaching years. And then 13 plus is where they're really becoming their own little adult and you're more mentoring them and guiding them and just, you know, helping them launch into this adulthood. And I am going to have a soon to be 16-year-old and 17-year-old. I'm at the end of this third phase of parenting. And each of these phases of parenting have different draws on you mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. When the kids are little and you're at home with them all day, you are home with them. You have time, but a lot of times you don't have money. And oh my goodness, like just chasing after a 2-year-old is exhausting. And everything you start to do, they completely undo right behind you. And you feel like you're not making any progress whatsoever. And the maintenance that is done in organizing when your kids are 0 to 6 years old is mind-boggling. Every 3 months, they're in different size clothes, different favorite foods, different favorite books. We don't even play with Tonka trucks anymore. Now it's little Legos or big Legos. Or there's just so much to organize and maintain in those first 6 years. Then once your youngest goes off to full-time school, you enter those school years. And the school years are glorious, in my opinion. Like, they actually like mom. They think that mom knows something. You have a break from the kids during the day if you don't homeschool. Even if you work outside the home, as I did a lot when my kids were in grade school, it is different. You have that commute time to yourself. You just have some time to yourself. When they're 0 to 6 years old, like literally if you can go to the bathroom by yourself, that is the best thinking time you can get for that whopping 3 minutes because you're always with your kids. And then this phase that I'm in now has different pockets of it. So when you don't have the time, and what happened for me from 2007 to 2013 was we had a family medical emergency and then my father died and then we have to do the estate and the whole economy collapsed and the kids had extra needs and we had all of these medical issues come up. I literally had no extra time and my house imploded. If you are busy taking care of your family and your job and your kids and your marriage and everything else, like your house implodes. It's almost impossible for it not to implode unless you have, like I said earlier, like a nanny at the house who's also going to maintain your house or a housekeeper during this time or, you know, somebody who's going to keep up your house for you because you will not have the time to keep up the house yourself. So what do you do when you're in the middle of that kind of a phase and you don't have the time or the money? Like, should you just stop listening to the podcast and go listen to something else? Well, maybe. I mean, maybe you should use your running time or your driving time where you can listen to a podcast to listen to something entertaining for you. If it is stressful for you to listen to me and then not be able to implement things, then yeah, maybe you should stop listening. But almost always, I'm going to give you something you can do. And what you can be doing during these times when you don't have the time or the money to implement things is you can be changing your mindset. And your mindset changes about 18 months before your physical reality changes. Now, there are a lot of ways I could go in this podcast. And I have no notes, by the way. So we're just chit-chatting here today while my daughter's taking an exam. Because this is my life. I'm going to be lucky to get all these podcasts recorded this summer. But I'm going to do it because I like talking to you, and I think you like listening. So I have no statistics for this, but I know when I mentally decided to organize my house, there is a lot that goes on in your head before you see it in your physical reality. And I think I alluded to this a little while ago in a podcast, that I'm noticing that with like my business, with our finances, with my relationships, that the world is a lot more mental than it is physical. I don't know how to even explain this to you or where to point you to as a resource, but I know I just know that our thoughts are very, very powerful. If you're a positive person, you tend to have a more positive life. If you're a negative person, more negative things seem to happen to you. If you like drama, then drama usually finds you. And if you don't like drama, then you usually aren't in very dramatic situations. So, growing up, I would say I liked drama. I would say I was a drama queen, probably. And my husband and his family are like zero drama. Like, I didn't really even notice that there was such a thing as zero drama until I saw how calmly and nonchalantly they handle really big, like, emergency type situations. I'm sounding all the alarms and, oh my gosh, we need all the resources and let's do the research and who can we call about this and let's get a quorum together and let's make a decision. And I started noticing that not everybody is like that. Like, some people are like, okay, well, that's really terrible and here's what we're going to do about it. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Like, we're not going to discuss why it happened or how it happened or tell so-and-so about it, or like, we're like that's it? And I found inside of me, like, I had all of this energy that I wanted to burn off in some kind of a discussion about how horrible it was that we were in this kind of a situation, and there was none of that. So I started to realize that, oh, like, different people handle different situations differently. That was one thing I noticed. Then another thing that really stuck out to me, and I cannot remember where I originally heard this, was just this idea that nothing that you actually see, like man-made that you actually see, ever was before it was an idea in somebody's mind. Like, electricity was not before it was an idea in Edison's mind. You know what I mean? Like, nothing that you could see, a brick, like, somebody figured out how to make a brick. Somebody figured out how to make a car. Somebody figured out how to fly. Somebody figured out, you know, the Wright brothers flew and other people were flying about that same time. But before that, there were no things in the sky that flew with people on them. And the other thing I found really, really interesting, like, as I look into inventors, is so interesting to me, is that it's usually not one person who's working on the idea at the same time. So when the Wright brothers were flying, there were lots of people trying to figure out how to fly. And when Edison made the light bulb, and then I'm trying to think who, Tesla, I think, was also, they were creating the power grid. I watch documentaries about how, I think it was Edison and Tesla, pretty sure. Anyway, you know I'm terrible with details. There was this race to figure out how to create a power grid that could go beyond just, you know, a couple blocks within New York City. And Tesla actually created the power grids that we know today, but he lost the patent based on how patents were done back then. But the idea that Tesla and Edison at the same time, from two totally different parts of the world and two totally different lifestyles, were both coming up with the idea for electricity at the same time tells me something. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Also, when the television was invented, multiple people were doing that at the same time. And the most interesting, I'll have to figure out what documentary series I was listening to where I found all of these different people. But the other one was the race to get a rocket into space. Actually, Russia got into space earlier than we did, but the person who was in charge of their rocket technology died. And if he had not died, we would not have been the first ones to the moon. Very, very interesting. And the scientist behind our getting to the moon was actually a German, I want to say nuclear physicist, but I don't think that's right. A German rocket engineer guy that came over, but at the time they couldn't say that we were working with a German rocket engineer person because it was right after World War II. You're not listening to my podcast for details, obviously, because I can't remember any details. But when I was listening, when I was watching this whole documentary series from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, what I saw was there's this really smart rocket scientist in Germany that came over to the United States, and we are building a rocket at the same time that Russia is building a rocket to get man into outer space, which personally, I don't know why you want to go in outer space, but, you know, uncharted territories, we want to go there. There is energy around us everywhere. And if you're a positive person, there's like a positive bubble of energy around you. If you're a negative person, there's a negative bundle of energy around you. And do you remember your science class in eighth grade? And maybe this is because I'm helping the kids study for exams this week. It's bringing it all back to me, where positive and negative electrons like would then connect because they would share electrons and all that. That's not actually how it happens in the real world. So if you have a positive bubble of energy around you, other positive bubbles of energy tend to glom onto you. And if you have a negative bubble of energy around you, then you kind of repel all of the positive people and you attract all of the negative people. You see what I'm saying here? Like there's a different energy level. Like you as a person have an energy level and you attract and repel people. So there are people who would never listen to my podcast because I just repel them. They don't like me. They don't like what I have to say. That's okay. But you're listening, so I must attract you. So something about me attracts you. Maybe it's because I'm positive or the message I have is doable or I'm a realistic organizer. Something. There's something that attracts you to me. Also, in addition to our own personal energy, I think there are also other energies in the world. Like there was that energy for the rocket to go to the moon to be created that was obviously worldwide because people around the world were doing the same thing. Another really interesting to me one is Steve Jobs and the Microsoft dude. They were inventing different computers, but at the same time and at the same age. Like there are perfect ages to develop things. I think there are also perfect ages in our life to develop organizational skills, to look at organization differently. And so one of the things that we are doing is changing our mindset and getting our energy level to the place where we are ready to have an organized home. That's a really long way around to that, Lisa. That doesn't really make any sense. This whole podcast isn't really to make sense. This whole podcast is to kind of open your mind to the fact that you may be in a really, really hard place right now. You may be going through a tough phase of life, which could be lasting years, and you are not seeing the physical change in your home that you want to see. Your closet is not organized how you want it to be organized. You may not even know where your bills are. You don't even have the Sunday basket done yet. But you're listening to this podcast means that you desire to have that in the future. And the more you listen to the Organized 365 podcast and think about what an organized home would look like and how you yourself could get to that organized home and you're open to all the different ways that could happen, the more likely it is that you are going to have an organized home. Just based on the thought that you are thinking about it so much, you will manifest an organized home. That's what I think. And I know it all starts with the Sunday basket because in the Sunday basket, as simple as that is, even though it takes a couple hours and everybody drags their heels and nobody wants to make it, the Sunday basket is a microcosm of your entire house. And when you can get your daily to-dos, your kitchen counter paper, your calendar organized, then that will organize you mentally also. Because as soon as everything's in the basket, you no longer worry about if that bill is going to get paid or where that form is you need to turn back in or what needs to be added to your calendar. The discipline of making a Sunday basket and physically emptying it and going through it every Sunday is training you in the skills that you need to organize your entire house. Every skill that you need to organize your entire house, you are learning through the discipline of doing the Sunday basket. So if you are in a crazy, crazy phase of life, you have no time and you have no money, take any time that you have to create the Sunday basket. You will be amazed how much that will help you. And continue to listen to the podcast and other people who talk about organization and change your mindset and level up your energy so that your house will start to reflect the internal change that is going on inside of you. It is my hope and my desire that by listening to this podcast, not only will you get the tools and the tips and the action steps and the motivation to get your home organized. What I think is really happening in these podcasts is that you are changing your mindset from, ugh, this house is disorganized. I am disorganized. I can't be organized too. There are many different ways to get organized. There are lots of phases of life. Everyone can get organized. Done is better than perfect. Progress over perfection. I'm making progress. I will get organized one day. I'm on my way. I'm going to get organized. That mental mindset shift from I'm unorganized, I can't get organized, to I am on my way, I'm going to get organized, progress over perfection, 15 minutes a day, That teeny tiny mindset shift, when it actually happens, is the rocket fuel for getting your entire house organized. And it is the mental change that happens inside of you that will then spur on the physical change. So I hope that this podcast has, number one, validated if you're saying, I don't have the time and I don't have the money, that yes, there are times in your life where you don't have the time and you don't have the money, but there's always something we can do, even if it is just as you go to bed each night, picturing what your house will look like when it is organized, or taking 5 minutes at night and making your list of the top three things that need to get done the next day and start that simple, simple planning. I hope you have a great week, and I hope that this podcast really helped change your mind about how you can get organized when you're in a tough phase, but also validated the fact that yes, there are tough phases of life, and not every phase of life is conducive to organizing 15 minutes a day.